I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni, and as always, super excited to bring you the behind-the-scenes secrets on how you can be a confident, charismatic speaker, but also get your message out there, make a true impact on the world, because I know a lot of you have been playing it small, you're looking to play it big. And look, we have got someone lined up and you'll hear his first name, and I genuinely actually think we've got the superhero. When I was going through his bio and looking up his things, his name's Thor Conklin and he is based in Atlanta. Look, you have to check him out before we even get started. He's done a million different things in regards to peak performance. I'm talking running Ironmans when he couldn't swim. I'm talking, speaking, consulting for companies worth hundreds of millions and billions, attempting to basically climb other hills the length of Everest, and attempting SEAL training for the hell of it, as you do. But what we're going to dive into is how he's been able to share his message with public speaking, as well as a few other things. So, Thor, welcome to the show, and can you confirm, are you the Marvel superhero or are you just a superhuman?
Well, just a superhuman, I hope. I don't have the hair in order to fit the character in the magazines.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. I'd love if you could give us kind of a bit of a background, I guess, on what, I mean, you're a peak performance expert. How did that come about, and how did it lead to, I guess, the speaking side of things that you do now as part of your business?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a statue by a artist, Bobby Carlyle, that's called the Self-Made Man. You can look it up on Google. And it's a man that is carving himself out of a block of granite with a chisel and a hammer. And to me, that really resonated. That's who I am. Every day I wake up and I try to figure out what doesn't belong. I try to chip that away and just become a little bit better of a peak performer. And as you said, I love the intro. Yes, I have attempted a lot. There's a lot of things I've attempted also that didn't end up in the bio because I probably didn't get past, first base with those attempts. But, it's all about just keep going. And that's the way I live my life. And if you find the most successful people in the world, you always see what they've done and what they've been able to achieve. But along the way, there are a ton of failures. And it's just part of life. It's just part of the process. You just got to keep moving.
And I think that's a big point, is you're all here to fast track that mistake. You can learn from the things that we've done wrong in the past. And I know you've coached with under and with Tony Robbins. And I'm not sure if it's a saying that he said or something that's attributed to him a lot. But the fastest way to get from where you are to where you want to be is find those people who are there and model what they're doing. So I think that's a an admirable side of things. But let's dive straight in. You've worked with a lot of businesses and run your own businesses yourself. How does that now translate into what you do with speaking? So are you more in the consulting space? Are you more in the keynote space? A bit of both, and take us through that.
So speaking is probably about 20% of what I do. I do keynotes, but I try not to do too many of the keynotes because I find so often keynote speakers have an interesting story. It's a little inspiring, motivating, but then you leave that keynote and it's like, what's the takeaway? What's that next step I need to take? I'm all about execution. So I enjoy doing more workshop-based material where I'm actually getting the audience to do work during the presentation. And I always say, look, I don't give speeches and I don't give talks. I have conversations. I don't talk at the audience. I'm talking with the audience. And in particular, one person. I really try in my language that I use the word you, not you all or everyone. As you mentioned in the intro there, I've been a trainer for Tony Robbins for the last 13 years. And one of the things he's a master at is, as you sit in the audience, you think he's talking to you because his language patterns are geared towards one person.
I'm cognitively taking that in. I've been in Tony Robbins, I've been to UPW and had the fortunate thing to be able to experience that firsthand. And I'm just taking it in because I always say you guys or you girls or
Yeah, I do too. I mean, just it's part of, you know, it creeps in, but I try to very consciously think about that before I start a conversation with an audience, is that I want to connect one-on-one. And when you say, you know, is this something that you're struggling with right now? Everyone goes, wow, that you know, just that he's talking to me. I don't do it, you know, all the time, but I certainly try. I fail at it a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely start failing at it a bit more by actually concentrating on changing it. With what you speak about, what are the main areas and who do you speak to, apart from you out there, who do you speak to the majority of the time when you are out there?
Yeah, I'm part of the Entrepreneurs Organization, Worldwide Entrepreneur Organization, 12,000 members strong around the globe. Everyone has a business of $1 million plus. So what I try to do is I try to speak to audiences that would make great clients for us. And our lane is entrepreneurs that are running a sizable business that need help on execution. The owner is hungry, they're driven, they just haven't gotten to that next level, and there's something getting in the way. One of the things that, as entrepreneurs, we think, and I see it so often, I see it, you know, going back to Tony, I see it a lot of times in the seminars. People go from seminar to seminar, podcast to podcast, from event to event, book to book, saying, I'm missing something. The only reason I'm not where I want to be is because I'm missing something and I've got to find that information. It's BS. You're not missing anything. What is happening is there's something more in there, in your life, in your business, that doesn't belong. There's a blocker. It's not about lack of knowledge. It's about not executing the knowledge that you already have. So we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what are those things that are getting in the way. Sometimes it's an employee, sometimes it's a belief system, sometimes it's a piece of the business that that is not executing at the highest level. So speaking to audiences, I'm always trying to get in front of people that would make ideal clients for us.
Nice. And what are the steps you tend to do to, do you go to organizations and run the workshops? Do you put your own workshops on? Do you use keynote presentations as kind of the lead-in to generate?
Yeah. So, you know, it starts with your local chamber. You know, contact your local chamber and get an opportunity to speak in front of 20 people, then 50 people, then 100 people. And here's the thing. When you start to hone your craft and you start to become better, and there's a reason I'm saying this, is because when you start, you're not good. You know, like anything, all you got to do is go back to episode one of my podcast. I cringe. I absolutely cringe. And I leave it there because it's a reminder that we all start at a place. And that place is not excellence. It's, you just got to hone your craft. You've got to do it over and over and over and over and over again. So it just starts with those small. But then once you start to get some traction, record everything. Make sure that you've got somebody there doing some videotape for you. And just record it, and you'll start to get some momentum off that. And it just leapfrog. Once you're good, people hear about it and then want you at their event.
Every master was once a disaster, which is it's funny because I'm the exact same. Like, this is, I don't know, probably podcast number 300 for me out of, you know, my old show and this one. And I'm not saying that I'm a great interviewer, but I'm a lot better than what I was in the first one. And what's really interesting is I've always been a confident speaker live. And then going to podcasting was this whole different skill set, utilizing the same things, but still a different skill set. And then, you know, more recently, it's been getting comfortable in front of video. Like, not in front of video, in front of an audience. That's fine. I can speak to the audience, but it's when it's just you, you know, running a live and reassessing and picking all those things. So, I mean, there's always a, for everyone out there, you know, you're hearing from people who have spoken to audiences who are confident out there, but we always have these transitions and we're always looking to improve upon it. But what you think is bad, you know, your first podcast was still good to somebody else. And it's just now that you're better at it, everything levels up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love the idea of the videotaping because it doesn't lie. Mm. You'll see, you will hear, and I still cringe. I still hate looking at it. I swear, I still do. My team will bring me some stuff. I'm like, so how'd that go? And they're like, this part was really, really good. And this part was like, I was like, wait a second. That was awesome, that part that you didn't like. And then I watch it back on tape. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as I thought it was.
And I find it really funny too, because I heard Kobe Bryant talking about how he was like that most analytical player. Every game from when he first started, he'd have a TV and a video of the game straight after the game, taken up to his room, and him and the video analyst of the team would sit there, you know, straight after the games, and they'd analyze everything, and he'd be looking at how he could make everybody better, what he could do better, and they all do game tape, but he would be, you know, watching each game 4 or 5 times, and he said over the space of 10 years, he'd watched that much tape, so much things were just locked into his brain that he would go, that was horrible, I need to work that out. And he said he took it into the businesses that he's now doing, the same work ethic. He said when he's given keynote presentations, he'll watch it 5 times on the flight home back to wherever he's going, and will absolutely dissect it. And same sort of thing. He cringes. I've heard him say it. He's like, I hate it. But the only way that you get better is you confront it rather than your brain telling yourself a bit of a false story.
Absolutely.
When it comes to workshops, because I think a lot of us out there will understand, like you say, the keynote presentation can often leave people with that, hoorah, I'm going to do something. But yeah, and not a lot of the practical side of things. Let's say you're running one of your workshops, what do they tend to look like, and what are some of the key things that you have implemented over time with your workshops that you think have made them better?
Yeah, so this really goes for just about any talk that I'll give, but I've got a couple things that I can run through, and hopefully if you've got a pen and paper, you can jot some of these in. First thing is understanding your audience. I'm always getting with the organizer and I'm trying to understand not just who is in the audience, but what is the audience struggling with. Our entire practice is trying to help people get from where they are to where they want to go. And again, I talked about something getting in the way. So where's the pain? What's the problem? What are they struggling with? Obviously, preparation. You've got to be prepared. Practice. Use video beforehand. And be prepared. Look, you know, sometimes the AV doesn't work. Sometimes the audience shows up late, or something might get in the way of your travel plans, your microphone, batteries, whatever it is. Have a contingency plan and be ready to go. Nothing's more awkward than to see a presenter. Something goes a little awry and then their entire presentation is off base. We talked a little bit about the stuff that I did with Tony. I had the opportunity many times to actually be backstage when he prepares to go out on stage. Now, he's been doing this for 30 years. Every single time, without fail, at every single event, period, he goes through a pre-routine where he is basically activating his body and his mind. It's this crazy high-energy explosion where he's just getting himself set. So when he goes out on stage, he is centered, he is energized, and he is turned on. I see so many speakers get from the back of the room, kind of meander up to the front. And you don't have to come out with the same energy. But that's another really key point is meet your audience where they are. If it's a somber room, do not come in, looking like you're leading a parade or, a rock concert. Meet them where they are. And then it's about questions and connecting one-on-one with the audience. Because what'll happen sometimes is we get into it, it'll go in a different direction. I don't come out with a set idea. I know where I'm going, right? I know where they are currently, or at least I have a pretty good idea from the organizer. I know where I want to bring them, but there's many paths to get them to that end destination. I'm sure you talk about it all the time. You know, start telling them what they're gonna learn, tell them, and then recap at the end exactly what you did teach them. And then for me, it's all about that next step. What is the one step that they're gonna take next, right now before they leave, or as soon as they get back home?
All of them are brilliant points. We're going to jot them all down at publicspeakingblueprint.com because I think these are all takeaways that people really need to know. You need to understand your audience. I mean, I'm living in Australia and I'm a Kiwi, and if you know, I've been in events where you're rah, 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 and this isn't trying to generalize, like North American comes out with like, you know, waiting for the dancing bears to come out. Like, hey, everybody, how's everyone going? I can't hear you. How's everyone going? And it doesn't go down well culturally. Like, yeah, I'm not talking about like religion or culture or anything, but like we're a pretty laid back bunch down here. And yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, Tony knows how to read his audience. Yeah. And like you say, meet them where they're at, because if you're in Tony Robbins events and there's 5,000 people in there and the music's cranked up on the first day, like you're literally sitting there.
It always is. Yeah. I mean, it's not on purpose. And that audience has been cranked up. And by the way, people always ask the question, when's Tony going to be here?
Yeah.
There's two answers. One, when the room is 75% or more full, period, he will not come out on stage. And second, the energy of the room is at a certain level. That's when he comes out and starts the event. It's not based on time. If anybody's been to a Tony Robbins event, it's not time. So he's got the audience up to that level. But here's something very interesting that you don't see or probably didn't understand. But when I say it, if you go to another one, you'll actually see it. He then has you interacting, right? And again, for the people that haven't been to one of his events, you can watch I'm Not Your Guru on Netflix and get an idea of it. But he's got the music up, so his energy's at that level when he comes on stage. He meets them where they're at, but he's also knows that the audience is not used to interacting with each other yet. So the first thing that he'll tell you to do as you're starting to get to know the audience is, hey, you know, give the guy next to you, you know, shake his hand, you know, say hello, pat him on the back, you know? And then what happens at the end of day one? You're massaging this person, you're hugging this person, you're crying with this person. It was all ramped up. It started out with a handshake, then it started out with a hug, then it started. So it all progresses up where then it starts to expand. So the same thing with your audience. I'm not suggesting to have your audience hug and you know, cry with each other, unless it's appropriate to what you're doing. And that's another really, really good point. Please, please, please do not do Tony. Do not do Gary Vee. Do not do Grant. Just do you. If you want to come across and have an impact on your audience, the only way to do that is one way, and that is be authentic to who you are. Don't do the gurus.
Yeah, I love that's it's an awesome point, because I mean, I was gonna say at Tony's event, he ramps the audience up, and there's obviously a lot of people who have previously been to his stuff. So when the music starts cranking before he's even come out on day one, they're up there dancing, the support staff are dancing and moving around, and you're sitting there and you are not on that level yet. You're sitting there and you're going, what have I signed up to? Like, what is these next 4 days going to entail? I was sitting there, I was going in with an open mind because I'd heard a lot of good things from a lot of people that I respect their opinion, and I was still going, what's going on here? And like you say, he takes you through that transition, but even then he still lifts your energy up. If he came out and there wasn't the music blasting and everyone was just sedentary and just sitting there, you're not going to make that transition, which is super valuable. With the next step, what do you look for? Like, I just want to get a bit of an idea on yours. Is your next step another type of workshop, something more in depth, online training? Is it working small group, one-on-one? What does that tend to look like for you in general?
Yeah, for our organization, we started out being an executive coach and profitability consulting firm. And not only would we have expertise in that area, but that's what our core clients were looking for. And just recently, we realized, you know, it's kind of funny when you get a chance to disconnect from your business and doing the business, and you get to work on the business, you see other possibilities and opportunities. So my team and I recently attended an event that we had looked at for a number of years. And what we realized is, yes, that's what we do for our core client, but we have so much material, so much content that we deliver to those higher end clients that is completely applicable to all kinds of businesses and even those that are just starting. We just didn't have a delivery system. Mm-hmm. So what's next for us is really taking a lot of our content, forming classes around that, online programs, a lot of free content, putting a lot of stuff on video, quite frankly, and creating a studio where we can actually give that content and deliver it in a way that's affordable to folks that, you know, aren't running a multi-million dollar business. So that's what's really next. So we're excited about that. There'll be online classes. We'll be doing some masterminds. More speaking, obviously. But yeah, I'm excited to do that because really this journey, and you mentioned this in the beginning, it was really about figuring out how to take everything that I acquired in the last 30 years, both in business and on the psychology side, combining those together and packaging it in a way that I can deliver it to. It was originally designed, even before it became a business, for my kids. I'm like, you know, I spent years and years acquiring all this information. I had these books, they're called It's, Interesting Things and Stuff to Pass Along, these little red notebooks. I'm like, first of all, my kids probably will never end up opening these pages and actually reading them. And if I do, I've delivered it to two people, which is great. But let me get this information out so anybody, anywhere can see it and it'll live forever on the internet. So that's really was the start of the business. It was not about creating a business to make money. It was about passing along what I've learned and shortcutting the process for everybody else.
It's brilliant. And I just want to talk about one thing because I know a lot of people are going to take validation from what you said. And I want to throw a word of warning out there, not from the way you've done it, but you've got to understand that you and your company have taken a period of time of nailing it down with their high level clients before transitioning and moving towards that transition to online and targeting other clients and things like that. I think often I'm guilty of it as well. And many of you listening are there as well. It's like, oh, I want to target this lot and I'll do an online training program and I'll do a high-end offer to high-end executives and a low-end offer to new businesses. And I think it's and this is just my personal opinion, but it's get something tied in and nailed in, and then you can expand your product offering. Don't try and be everything to everyone because it won't end up well.
Yeah, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for the last 21 years, and when we started this business, the first 8 months in business, we had a grand total of $1,500 in revenue.
Whew, retirement.
$1,500. I mean, our messaging was off, our marketing was off, who knows what else was going on. And a lot of it we were building so that we weren't in active sales process the entire time. But it took a lot of time. I remember the team coming to me and saying, Thor, is this going to work? This seems to be going a lot slower than normal. I'm like, hey, this is my sixth company, six or seven. And I said, yeah, they all work like this. And I remember at night going, oh my God, this is taking a long time. You know, the wheels are spinning, but we're not getting much traction. So, you know, it takes time. Yeah. And figure out one thing and do it well.
Yep, I agree. Well, I think that from, you know, everything that I've looked up of yours, had this conversation, and just seeing the amazing things that you're out there doing and passing on that legacy, I think you are definitely doing some things very, very well. If people want to start following all the things you are doing well and find out more about you and maybe connect, where can they go and what can they do?
Yeah, real easy. So social media is all Thor Conklin. Website is storeconklin.com. And one thing for the audience, this is what I do at each of the end of a podcast if I'm being interviewed. And that is, if there is something that you're struggling with in your business, if you send me an email, thor@thorconklin.com, I'll send you back a four. You're not going to end up in some, funnel system or something. I'll send you back an email personally. And it's going to be a four-step system to it's too early in the morning here. In the US. We started at 5:30 in the morning. Send me an email and I'll send you a four-step process that will eliminate your biggest issue in your business. And at the very worst, if it won't eliminate it, it will reduce it to the point where it's no longer an issue.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to...
50 words or less, please. No books.
Yeah. Everybody take note. No one likes a long lingering email.
That's right.
I will link all of that, including Thor's email, with that generous offer. And I hope that many of you take it up at publicspeakingblueprint.com. Thor, I absolutely appreciate your time getting up super early in the morning and sharing with us a ton of value, which I know a lot of people are going to take with them and hopefully make their bigger impact, because these are the secrets that until now a lot of people would never hear, who wanted to be able to get out there and share their message. And that's a lot thanks to you, Thor. So I appreciate it and I look forward to catching up in the future.
Brother, thanks for having me on, man.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.